Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dylan, seemed like a very low chance game for both teams. There wasn't a lot of room out there, was there?
No, I think, usually when we play these guys, it's pretty wide open for both of us. I'd say both of us are pretty tight defensively, and, you know, there wasn't many opportunities. And the opportunities they did get, they capitalized on, and we didn't. So that's a tough one.
You guys got a good forecheck going in your goal. Maybe go through that goal for me, if you would.
Yeah, just got the puck.
3-1 the final, Tampa defeating Buffalo. Thank you for your patience through the extra commercial break. We have live locker room reaction right away here. Dylan Cousins speaking with Paul Hamilton.
You guys started generating. What did you guys do to figure out what they were trying to sort of slow you down defensively?
Yeah, we knew we just had to get it behind them and work. Make them turn it over and, you know, spread the zone and just get pucks to the net and try and have guys around the net. We didn't do a good enough job at that, though.
How did you feel today? You weren't able to practice yesterday. How did you feel out there today?
Yeah, I felt pretty good. Good enough to play.
Thanks, Dylan. Dylan Cousins on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, there's Dylan Cousins there. He gets the lone Saber goal as we welcome you in here to the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show as Cousins scores his eighth, 13:52 into the second period. That was the lone Buffalo tally. And the storyline of this game is going to be the fact that Buffalo's offense could not come through in this game. Back to the room. Here's Tage Thompson now live.
Tage, it seemed like a very tight game for both teams out there. Was there not a lot of room?
I thought we were just sloppy with the puck. I think we forced a lot of things through the neutral zone and kind of into their pressure, kind of making the game a little more difficult on ourselves. And obviously, that's kind of how they got their first two goals, just kind of, freebies for them. And, the game plan going in there was just to make them work and make them defend. And I think we let them off a little easy tonight, gave them kind of an easy game. And obviously they get a two-goal lead, and now we're chasing a little bit. So, not much. I mean, they're a good team. They're going to make you earn everything you get offensively. And I think we just made the game a little bit too easy for them tonight.
They did capitalize on a couple of turnovers, but overall I thought you guys defensively, other than that, there wasn't a lot of chances for them, was there?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think we were pretty good in our D zone. I thought we exited our zone pretty good. I think what gave us trouble tonight was our neutral zone, just kind of on the regroups and quick counters. Like I said, just kind of forcing stuff that maybe wasn't there and just maybe being a little too stubborn in terms of getting it behind their D, trying to make plays, coming over the blue line. I thought Oopie played a great game, keeps it, pretty tight for us and gives us a chance to get back into it. Cuzzy with a big goal there. And, in the third period, I thought we had some good looks, but, it's tough when you're playing a good team like that to chase from behind.
Did frustration maybe set in a little bit when that was happening to you guys?
I think whenever you're generating and you're not getting rewarded for it. It can be frustrating. I think at the same time, we got to do a better job. I think we were a little too perimeter in the O-zone. I think when we did get it, and got it low to high or whatever, I think we need to get more guys to the inside and guys to the net. We could have done a better job of that.
Obviously not the homestand you were looking for at 3-3.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we want to be better. 3-3 is not good enough, but at the same time, we got a road trip coming up here, and we can make a big statement. We just got to focus one game at a time here and go from there.
Thank you, Tate. Tate Thompson in the post game, and Alex Tuck is talking behind me here, so I'll stick a microphone in that. Okay, he's just finishing up now, so that'll do it here from Brian. Back to you.
All right, thank you, Paul. We hear from Tage Thompson. He and the Sabres struggling to get offense going today. A 3-1 loss to Tampa as Buffalo goes 3-3 on this trip. Today's game, Pat, quickly here, as we just get a final thought here before we get ready for Don Granato. Out of the six, if there was one head-to-head one that mattered the most, it was this one today.
Yeah, and even, you and Paul talked about it when it was 2-1 or even 2-0. At least just get the game to overtime to try and get 2 points. Going into it, we were sitting here saying, you need to win the game in regulation because you're chasing Tampa in the standings. But by the time it got to the third period, when you're down by just one, just get that next goal. Give yourself a chance to get two and almost not care about what Tampa Bay if they get a point in this game. So this is a frustrating loss for the Sabres team that have been playing so well. Let's not forget the three previous games going into this from last Saturday a week ago to today. They played some of the best hockey of the season, had some of the best goaltending, and again, Ugo Pekalukinen was good today, only facing 16 shots, but where were the chances?
That's right, and you're facing a goaltender that on paper says you should be able to handle in the fact. Johansson, his numbers coming in here this season, an .891 save percentage, a .345 goals against. He's played one game since December 8th. So a month plus he's played one game. So a rusty goaltender, that be it as well. All right, at this time we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliate stations. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com or in on the Odyssey app. When we come back, Don Granato's live postgame comments. We'll also get Paul Hamilton's take. Highlights and stats and scores and standings updates all coming your way as well. If you want to get in on the show, 803-0550, or you can send me a tweet at BrianWGR. The Upstate Honda Dealers postgame rolling on. Tampa wins it 3-1 over Buffalo. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
KSE HD2 Niagara Falls, Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
Always live on the free Odyssey app.
This is the box for Crunchen. Rex Pistolin up top. Sabres need a goal to tie it, not give it away. And here's a chance coming back for Tyler Mott. Shorthanded! Scores 2-0. Lightning with a shorthanded goal.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call with what was the eventual game winner. Just 7:06 into the game today. Tyler Mott's fourth of the year. Shorthanded. Alex Tuck unable to keep the puck in. He kind of going back and forth with Dahlin, dangerously back and forth. They do keep it in, and then Tuck tries to do a couple of dekes and loses the puck, and there goes Tyler Mott. In for his fourth of the year, shorthanded. That made it 2-0. That's our NOCO play of the game, brought to you by NOCO, the official natural gas and electric supplier to the Buffalo Sabres, as we welcome you back here to KeyBank Center on our Upstate Honda Dealers postgame. So, yeah, the Sabres offense coming up short today. The power play, that was, by the way, on the power play that Tampa scored shorthanded. Another disappointing night. It has been a brutal year for the Sabres on the power play. They are very... They're pretty close to the same amount of goals that they've had 5-on-5 last year. I know Lance Lykowski from the Buffalo News had a good stat last game. He said they were, they had 99 goals at this point last year, 5-on-5. This year they had 96 coming in, so, one more, 97. It's fairly close, essentially, within a handful of goals. But the power play, obviously, it's been terrible. And it's the same group of players here. I know there's been injuries in and out with Thompson and with Skinner, but, it's the same group of players. it's not like you're going to all of a sudden, throw Eric Robinson on the power play or, throw, some of these other, fourth liners on the power play. Victor Olofsson is shown to be a waste. I mean, he's only supposed to be on this team because he gives you a little power play scoring production. Well, that doesn't happen at all. I don't even know why he's playing, but he is at this point. The Sabres just continue to think that maybe he's going to bust out of it. He's not. He's got 4 goals right now in 33 games and not helping the power play, which is the one thing that you thought maybe he could help you with this year. Their power play is killing them. And a drastic change has to happen there for something. You can't just all of a sudden put fourth liners out there, but you've got to figure out a different style, a different strategy, a different attack, something. Teams obviously have decided to take away the one-timer from Tage Thompson, and the Sabres have no answer for it at all. It has killed them in games this year. It is another one here today. The power play not only doesn't score, but you give one up. And if the Sabres were just a little more careful with the puck today, they didn't play terrible on the defensive side of things. I mean, you only let up 16 shots to Tampa. One of those is an empty net goal. So 15 shots on Lukanen. But, one is a middle stat turnover, a couple of quick passes. There's nothing Lukanen could have done there. Obviously, the breakaway from Mott, would you like him to score on it? Sure. Or save it? Sure. But ultimately, it's 2 turnovers. A middle stat turnover, a tuck sloppy with the puck. And, that power play turnover to me is what's really frustrating. Dahlin and Tuck were both being cute with it on the blue line. Both of them at both opportunities back and forth when they were exchanging the puck. It literally went along the blue line. I thought, wow, they're going to be sloppy here. It's going to get out. They got away with it. It stayed in the zone, and they were able to stay onside. And then Tuck tried a couple of dekes, and Mott just poked it at it, and off to the races he went. And that ends up being costly. But in this game, they had opportunities to score. 28 shots. There were definitely opportunities. J.J. Paterka hits the post. This team hits the post more than anybody. But it's Jonas Johansson. That's, to me, the really, really frustrating part here. This is not Andrei Vasilevskiy, who just stole the game from him. No. All right, Jonas Johansson played pretty good. Good for him, because he hasn't been a good goalie in this league. We know even for the time he was with the Sabres, he wasn't good. He's played one game since December 8th. The last 18 games for the Lightning, he's played in one. 17 of the 18 games, he didn't even get on the ice. And he comes in here and just, yep, no problem. I'll just fill the role of Vasilevskiy, and, it's the Sabres. I'll handle this. John Cooper, the Lightning coach, has back-to-back games. He's played Vasilevskiy almost every game. And he figures, well, we got Detroit tomorrow in a game that's big because the two of them were tied in the standings coming into today. They were both the wild card teams, 1-1 and 2. And figures, you know what? It's Buffalo. Let's throw in Johansson. They've had trouble scoring. And, well, lo and behold, here we are with the Sabres with one goal. And to me, again, the moment, seizing the moment, this team all year has fallen short. Here's today. You've got a homestand. It's gone fairly well with a monster game head-to-head, and they come up with one goal. All right, here's Don Granato now live. Okay, not yet. We're going to get to Don Granato in just one moment. We will take you down there as soon as he meets with the media. But just back on my points there, you've got a Saturday game, it's sold out, it's jamming in here, it's kids' day, they're ready to erupt. You've got a monster game, these 6 home games. If you would have said what's the most important game on the schedule, definitely the one with Tampa. That's a team you have to run down. They're in the wild card spot at the moment. These other games, 3 against the West and 2 teams, 4 against the West, 3 against the West, I'm sorry. And then the Ottawa game, Ottawa's below you. The Sabres took care of business there. But you could have won 4 of 6 on this road trip, or on this homestand, and 6 of 8 to start off January. And a favorable West Coast swing coming up with Anaheim, Los Angeles, and San Jose. So that could have been a spot maybe where the Sabres could have, really made a good January. Now, they still can. It's still one game. But, man, what an opportunity for them today to really kind of get the belief back, yes, we are legitimately in this race. We just beat a team that's been playing good hockey, but their backup goalie who's in, who has essentially got AHL numbers and AHL ability, in my opinion, and you score 1. And they did a good job on the other end, but the power play again fails them. They give up a shorthanded goal there, and if they were just a little bit more careful with the puck, maybe we're talking about a 1-0 Buffalo win here today. Because Luukkonen has been playing great. Those two goals against him, you know, one is a bing, 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 bing in, and the other one is a breakaway. The breakaway goal, yeah, I would have, you know, it would have been great for him to come up with a big save. But he's been playing great. It's really tough to kind of get on him at this point. Guess what happens? The third period starts. The Sabres figured out a way to win the second period, getting the goal, cut the lead in half. And guess what? You've got Alex Tuck, a guy that was money last year. He's walking in. He gets a breakaway to start the third period right away. And Johansson makes a save. And, it, you know, didn't seem like it was that difficult of one to start with there, too. All right, well, that's a golden opportunity with one of your better forwards wasted. Oh, then halfway mark, you get a power play opportunity. And it's not going well. And then before you really start to get into the heart of it, then there's a penalty called, which, by the way, I thought was garbage on Benson. Benson this year has really gotten the short end of the stick in terms of some of these penalties that were called against him. Trying to remember, what was it? Was it against Tampa? There was a game, remember, behind the net where the Sabres were kind of, he was getting triple-teamed kind of behind the net, getting shoved, and he got a penalty for it. I mean, just, he's had a questionable couple of calls against him this year. I thought that was another one there. But, nevertheless, I'm not going to sit here and say that the Sabres were going to score on the rest of the power play if he's not called at that point. It's just, again, that time to live up to the moment here. They had it today. You had two teams at 51 points, the Sabres at 44. If you win here, you get to 46. Now you're back within five, and you've got two teams now that you're within five of. You're within five of wildcard spot one, not just wildcard spot two. And, they come up short. The offense not being able to come through, the power play not being able to come through in big moments has cost them all season. And today's just another example. And it feels to me even worse because of the scenario of the standings, because of the opponent, and because of who was in net for Tampa. And, you know, Jonas Johansson played fine. But I didn't sit here and think tonight, like, wow. If it was one of these nights where the Sabres were just all over them and, you know, he made 50 saves or something along those lines, like, all right, well, you got to credit him. I mean, the Sabres put up 27 shots. They didn't generate a ton. And the times that they did, well, they didn't come through. Tuck misses on the breakaway. Paterka hits a post 4 minutes, 5 minutes into the game. So, you know, there were opportunities. They weren't a ton of them, but you've got to figure out a way to bury them. Tampa didn't have barely any opportunities at all, and I'm crediting the Sabres defense for that. But when they had their chances, they scored. And that's the difference right now. Tampa's figuring out a way to finish. They've now won five in a row, and they increased their lead on Buffalo from seven now to nine. And guess what? The Leafs have now fallen back into a wild card spot. Tampa has moved into third in the Atlantic. So they continue to play well. Tampa's won five in a row, seven of their last 10, and did it today with Jonas Johansson in net. That's what's really disappointing to me. You look at, you know, the power play we mentioned. We look at Cousins, who ends up scoring here today, but you want an assignment at home. Take what Dylan Cousins and Tage Thompson had through 46 games last year. Goals-wise, right now they've got, 14 and 8? They've got 22. How much did Thompson and Cousins have at this point last year through 46 games? That's going to be a jaw-dropping number. Alex Tuck has 12. He's down. You know, the only guy that's really, I would say, up is Paterka with 14. Quinn, of course, down because he was hurt. I think he's been fine in his return so far. Olofsson's been a disaster. We know Skinner's been scoring, but unfortunately injured. Who knows if Skinner's playing today? Maybe he's been one of the rare Sabres that's been able to finish this year. That could have been an opportunity maybe for him at some point. But yeah, one goal. I mean, that's the story against Johansson to me. In a big moment against an opponent you got to beat. And the Sabres, at times this year when you feel like maybe here's a spot where they can get back in this legitimately, they've come up short. Here's now Don Granato live.
I'm talking to Tage. After the game, he felt that your team was just too stubborn to get the puck in behind the Tampa D, which led to a low-chance game. Did you feel the same way?
Well, we could have done it much more. We did a little better job in the third period. But, yes, the first two periods, that was the message after the second. It's a message to start the game. You know, we needed more pucks behind than we got. But that was something that, you look at the deficit and the mistakes early, and you have a deficit, but we needed more of that.
Big
of your defensive effort? I mean, you shut them down much of the game, but they capitalized on a couple turnovers and...
Yeah, turnovers. Again, I mentioned even yesterday, this is a team, you know, this is a league. It's puck management. I think John Cooper had a press conference yesterday and said the same thing about his team, puck management. When they don't manage the puck well, it's cost them, and it cost us tonight in that regard on the first two goals. So it's a big, big part of the National Hockey League is managing the puck well. When you don't, they got guys that can convert, and that's usually when they do, before you can defend. Teams are pretty good once they get in their defensive structure in this league. And, you know, we were when we got in our structure and limited it, but it's tough to get in your structure when you turn puck over a couple times we did.
How do you feel that, Cousins, Quinn, and Paterka, once you put them back together, how'd that trio look the rest of the game for you?
Good energy. In the third, we didn't have enough push, and we needed the push in the third. So that familiarity helped. But when you finish a game like this, you want more out of everybody, and I think everybody wants more out of themselves. So, disappointing that position to be in.
How tough was it to see that call on Benson, just given the timing?
15 seconds into that power play, Thompson got completely wrapped up and held in the corner, and I get it, no call. You don't put a team down 5-on-3. I understand that. But they got a freebie right there, and then all of a sudden, I haven't seen that called all year long. So, I'm not an official. I'm just telling you what I saw. Timer got wrapped up, tied up in the corner. It spends 20 seconds in the corner. Wasn't called. And then, the poke that Benson made was toward the puck. I think it was called a slash. It was poking for the puck. And again, I haven't seen that called all year, so obviously, yeah, that's frustrating.
How do you keep Zach's head focused when his effort leads to these very questionable calls? This is the second or third time this has happened with him where he's just going hard and he's getting penalized.
Yeah, I don't think that's frustrating because you feel for Zach. He's got to play aggressive and tenacious. And, the standard, when we look at the standard, that's not even that aggressive. That particular play right there, which is, again, frustrating. That's a frustrating, frustrating one. But, you feel for Zach. You certainly wonder, as a younger guy in the league, and, I won't say any more, but that's what you wonder.
You've told us many times that you can never have too much traffic in front of the net. But when it comes to a team, especially, the way the game was going, how do you instill that into a group? That just has to be part of the fabric of what you do, no matter the situation.
Yeah, well, it's part of certain guys' fiber, actually. Obviously there are guys everybody knows and they watch. Certain guys go to the net with more consistency than others. It's part of their character, part of their player bio, and then on a nightly basis, there's massive fluctuation throughout the league. But when teams are going, they're going to the net, and the timing. It's not the perimeter's fine. The perimeter's good, and in line, and goals are scored coming from the perimeter. It's the timing of getting to the net, getting off of the perimeter at the right time. So it's not as easily as just going and standing in front of the net and never moving. You've got to work. The puck has to get to the net. It's never going to get to the net if you don't have support around the perimeter to get it in there, and then the timing. And for us, for teams around the league, you watch it. It's an indicator whether they're on their game. The more you do it, the more competitive you are, and on your game and a rhythm. And tonight, we did. I mean, let's face it. The chances were probably even maybe favored us. We didn't score. We didn't score tonight. And it becomes more disappointing because then you not only can you look at what you didn't score on, you look right back at, okay, how'd you give up the goals? And you're frustrated either way you go about it. But, you got to move on. You got to move on fast.
What's the level of urgency? 3-3 on the homestand, and now you hit the road for three. How urgent is it in that room?
Every day is urgent. There's urgency just elevates every day. So it's there.
Okay, that is Sabres head coach Don Granato following the 3-1 loss to the Tampa Bay Lightning. As we bring it back up here to the press box, our blue and gold locker room report brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. All right, let's get into some final stats here. We'll hear from Paul Hamilton in a moment. They're brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Final shots end up 27-16 in favor of the Sabres. Pat, that's got to be super disappointing that defensively against this team, they surrender 16 shots, 15 of them on Luukkonen.
Yeah, and really, from the first period on, it was just the two mistakes. The Sabres didn't make that many after giving up those two goals, but they're the difference in the game today. And again, it's something you talk about with Paul all the time. Whether it's a backup goaltender, young goaltender, we've seen what Columbus bring in a goaltender here that had played just a handful of NHL games. The numbers weren't good, and the Blue Jackets scored 9 goals in front of them that night, and the Sabres ended up losing that game. So it's something that's continually happened to this team. Many of the players have been here over the last couple of years while that's happened, but it's a trend that's gone on for quite a while for the Sabres team.
Power plays, again, a thorn in the side of the Sabres here. They go 0 for the day, 0 for 2, but while you're on the power play, you gave up a shorthanded one, so it's a double negative today.
Yeah, and I'll agree with Don Granato. I mean, the penalty on Zach Benson, he gets called for slashing for trying to dislodge the puck from Jonas Johansson. So, it's not an excuse. I mean, you had plenty of other time to get a goal. I'm not excusing the Sabres for that. Their only other power play of the game was cut short 43 seconds in on an absolutely atrocious call.
Yep, I agree. The Benson call was awful. Really was. And you know what, Don? I thought explained it well. Mm-hmm. Thompson's getting held up in the corner. It's in the third. It's already a power play. They're not calling it. Look, we could do a whole show here on how the NFL or NHL officiating is screwed up. It is. But he's like, I understood it. You're not going to put a team down two there. But whatever. You know, I could argue that they should, but whatever. But then to give Benson, the puck is sitting there in the crease, and he pokes at it, like, and then calling for slashing, like, it just that to me drives me crazy, because that's the hey, we're going to try to make things all even here sort of thing. When that was Buffalo only had one power play earlier the entire game, so it's not like the penalties were lopsided in any fashion.
Right, and you want to say the Sabres didn't create the offense that would result in a lot of power plays in the game? I'll give you that. I mean, that's certainly the case, where they maybe didn't generate enough offense and press the play enough against Tampa to result in an interference, a hooking penalty, what have you. But you're right. You don't call a penalty there in a situation to negate the power play, just to maybe even things up.
Yeah. Sabres 0 for 2 on the power play. Lightning 0 of 3. Jonas Johansson gets the win. 26 saves. Luukkonen in the loss. 13 saves. The three stars. Cousins with a goal is star number 3. Johansson in net for Tampa, star number 2. And Tyler Mott with the game winner, star number 1. But I guess we got to give credit to the Tampa goalie here. We'll make Jonas Johansson today our electric player of the game, brought to you by Town Ford. When you think Ford, think Town Ford. The announced attendance here today at KeyBank Center, 17,000 even on the button. And kudos to all the kids out there that did the PA and the in-game hosting, and the anthems were wonderful. And I know there were some other kids working up here. I know my son Jack's producing for us right here now, pushing the buttons back and forth. But a really, really nice job in the arena here today by everybody.
Yeah, it's something the Sabres have done now for a couple of years in a row, and it's a hit every time. Some of the features about the junior reporters who interviewed the players before today. So all that stuff was really well done.
That's right. If you're in your car coming home from the game, I think you also would agree on that. It was a fun day for that aspect of it here. Unfortunately, many Sabre fans disappointed with the result. Your drive home brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. Down to the media room now. We bring Paul Hamilton back in to get his thoughts here on this 3-1 Tampa win. Paul, the Sabres surrendered 16 shots. One of them was into an empty net. So 15 on Luukkonen. Again, it's almost in some sense a repeat of maybe the Vancouver game, in the sense that they gave up very little. But, man, the couple mistakes were deadly because Tampa cashed in on them.
Yeah, but you should be able to give up 2 goals in a game, because the third one's an empty netter, and that's what they did. 2 turnovers wind up in your net, but especially when Jonas Johansson standing at the other end. I mean, Jonas Johansson, I'm sorry. I mean, you can't lose to him. I know he's 9-6-5 now, 10-6-5. You just can't. And what did they? I mean, how many great chances? Yeah, Buffalo outshot him 15-2 in the third period. How many chances were great chances? I mean,
not a lot.
Yeah, not a lot. I mean, they were getting shots, but there's no traffic. There's nobody around the net. Tage Thompson addressed that, saying that they need more people there. So they make it easy on Johansson. He stops what he sees. And, you know, how many times did you say, wow, what a great save that was? You know, a few times, but he stopped Mittelstadt on a rebound, which was a pretty good save. You know, Tuck came in fast through the left side, takes the shot. Pretty good save there, but I'm not going to sit here and say Johansson stole them a game by any stretch of the imagination. And, you know, you turn the puck over twice and it's in your net. But again, that you give up two goals, you still should, at home, should be able to win a hockey game. And here they are, 3-3 at home on this homestand, and they lost a game 1-0 and basically 2-1. It's 3-1, but the last one's an empty netter. So as far as the game itself, it was a 2-1 hockey game because you couldn't score. At least the Vancouver game, you were facing an all-star goaltender who's having a great season. So, all right, you lost that game 1-0. Still, you shouldn't have lost. You had all sorts of scoring chances and couldn't score on the guy. But still, at least it was an all-star goaltender. Today was against a goaltender who is questionable if he's even an NHL goaltender. And you can't beat him. And you finish your homestand 3-3. No excuse for it. I mean, you can't. If you expect to be catching up in this, now you're further behind Tampa Bay. Now you're 9 points behind them, and you didn't pick up any ground on Detroit, who's idle today. And here you are. The 3-3 is not good enough on your homestand. I'm sorry, it's not even close to good enough. I mean, even when I was saying there's going to be 4-2, I was saying, well, you hope maybe you can stretch that into 4-1-1. But you're 3-3. I don't care how well you played, how great your defense was, how great your goaltending was. I don't care about any of it. You can't go 3-3 in your homestand. That's bottom line, period.
I guess, Paul, the thing I've been wrestling with all season long is this is, by and large, I mean, maybe a couple of pieces here and there, the same roster that we saw last year do all these things, whether it's get to the net, create offense, stand up for your teammates when there's a questionable hit, all these different things that, you know, players have talked about, they know they need to do better, or you know, things they need to figure out. I guess to me, what changed? What I don't understand, like what I'm wrestling with is, how is this group so much different? Because it's basically the same group that we saw do all those things last year consistently.
It's been basically power play. I mean, 5-on-5, it's been talked about a lot. They're pretty much in the same place they were last year, 5-on-5. You know, it's not their 5-on-5 game that's beating them. It's they never score on the power play, or rarely score on the power play. I can't say never. You know, they do now and then. But they had opportunities, you know, on the power play in this game. And what did they wind up? They were 0-for-2. And, well, the second power play in the – come on. I mean, right. This is the NHL again, and – I've seen Matthew Tkachuk and Marchand do what Benson does about 9 times a game. And I agree with Granato. It's never called. I never see it called. And I'm not blaming this game on the referee. It's bad for both teams, and it's always bad for both teams. But, you know, that was their second power play. Now, the way they play the power play, chances are pretty good that nothing's going to come of it. But you can't say that for sure. I mean, they do sneak a power play goal in there every now and then and maybe tie the hockey game. And you know, Benson winds up getting that penalty just because he's playing hockey, just because he's playing hard. And, you know, you lose your second power play of the game. But the first power play, nothing. I mean, it was in the first period, just nothing out of it at all. And that's what the difference is right there. Your 5-on-5 is pretty much the same as it was last year, but a power play that was in the top five for a lot of last year. It fell a little bit at the end, but for most of last year, sometimes it was in the top three, is now near the bottom of the league and sitting there. And when they're not doing anything with the power play and they're giving up a shorthanded goal, it spells a 3-1 loss.
Paul, to me also too here, you know, as we try to, you know, each game figure out its value, you know, what is impactful for tonight, how does it mean in the standings, all this sort of stuff. Today felt as meaningful with the game result in the standings as almost any this season here now, as we're almost through 4 months. And I feel like any time we've even had this slight conversation of, hey, tonight's game's really important. Hey, tonight's game's a four-point swing. Like, hey, tonight's game's maybe a night you can really put yourself back into a legitimate, you know, race sort of thing. They've not risen up to the moment in that spot. And not only, you know, it's the opponent. You're at home. You're trying to close out the homestand on a good note. And then you find out who's in net. And to only score one there, to me, like, it's hard for me to really want to buy into thinking that this team will ever figure it out this season, because they had this big moment here and this chance, and they didn't come through.
Yeah, nothing has shown me at all this year that they're going to figure it out this year. Nothing. Yeah, they were on a pretty good stretch of five wins in seven games, and they'd only given up one goal in their last three games. But I didn't get the feeling. I wasn't saying to myself, wow, you know, they're really onto it now. They look like they're ready to take off. I just didn't feel that way. And, you know, here is, you know, a big game for them. It's not really a big game for Tampa, because Tampa's not worried about the Buffalo Sabres right now. But Tampa's in the spot that the Sabres want to be in. Now, yes, you need to leapfrog six teams to get there, but they're in that spot that they want to be in, and Detroit wasn't playing. So you start the day 7 points out. And if you win in regulation, you're going to be 5 points behind both those teams. Those are the seventh and eighth place teams in the conference. So, you know, now you've made up a little bit of ground, and depending on what goes on with some of the other teams that are ahead of you. But, you know, they won 5 out of 7. They had made up no ground whatsoever. They kept pace is what they were able to do. And now Tampa Bay has won 5 games in a row, but it wasn't like Tampa Bay was all over the Sabres. They certainly weren't. The Sabres, other than the two turnovers that turned into goals, they defended pretty well. Tampa didn't have a lot. I mean, we didn't have to say, wow, what a great save by Lukanen. He didn't have to make great saves, because the Sabres, I think, were playing pretty well defensively once they got those two turnovers over out of their system. But those turnovers count. And both those turnovers wound up in your net. And when you're not going to score any goals, you can't afford to turn the puck over twice and allow two pucks to wind up in your net, because you just aren't going to score enough goals to. But too many times, goaltenders that people have never heard of wind up in the net, and the Sabres let them basically look like Dominic Hasek, and they didn't even make Dominic or Johansson look like Dominic Hasek. They didn't really get that many great opportunities on him. A couple. And another post when it's still 0-0. Here comes Paterka. Nice play. Comes flying through the left side. He's got Johansson beat. Hits the post. Again. 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 How many times have we said that this year? I don't know if I've ever said it as many times in a season as I crossbar, post. You know, they just keep hitting them. And how does the game change if that winds up in the net? He had the goaltender beaten. And he hits the post. Now, if that winds up in that, it's 1-0 Buffalo. Do things change? I don't know. None of us know, because now the whole game's different. You know, so we don't know, but at least you've got the lead. At least, you know, you get the first goal, something that they've been a little better at recently, but they've been horrible with throughout the season. But instead of getting that first goal and being up 1-0, you leave the first period down 2-0 because of two turnovers. And that's just the way they roll. And you know, they've had so many breaks playing goaltenders with save percentages of around 840 or worse, and they wind up losing the game to him. This goaltender had an 891 save percentage coming in, you know, because he had to play a lot of the games before Vasilevskiy wound up playing. And I still haven't heard anything on Vasilevskiy. He never did wind up on the Tampa Bay bench. I don't know if something happened to him in warm-up. I don't know if he didn't feel well. I don't know if they just wanted more room, although I've never seen the goaltender not come out. It's not like they're bunched over there. So I don't know what the deal was with that. Maybe that's one of the reasons why he didn't start this game. You know, maybe we'll hear more afterwards. But you can't lose this game. You just can't. And this game was there for you to take, and you didn't take it.
Yep. Paul, thanks for your work today. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you Tuesday night with the Sabres in Anaheim against the Ducks.
Okay.
All right, Paul Hamilton down in the media room. We bring it back up here to the press box on our Upstate Honda Dealers post-game show. Buffalo falling 3-1. costly loss here in the standings. Before we go to another timeout here, let's get our injury report in. It's brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. No Eric Johnson in this game out after taking that hard hit into the boards against Chicago when he was boarded in that game. So he was a scratch tonight. We thought maybe Jeff Skinner could have played tonight because he did practice yesterday, but Sabres deciding to keep him out. I would guess we'll see Skinner on this West Coast trip upcoming. He officially still on the injured reserve list. Eric Robinson was a scratch. Jacob Bryson was a scratch, and the Sabres have just announced that they have now reassigned Jacob Bryson back to Rochester, so Bryson will not accompany the team on this trip. Samuelson went back into the lineup today coming off of injury and played 20 minutes and 18 seconds, a plus one, did have registered a hit. Also returning Dylan Cousins to the lineup today. Cousins in this game had a goal, 17-58, two shots on goal, and went 8 of 15 on faceoff. So that is your injury report. We'll take a timeout here. 3-1 Tampa. We'll come back. We'll get Pat's scoreboard, update you on the standings, read some tweets, send them in at BrianWGR. Don't forget, 4 o'clock, we'll have live coverage from Baltimore, Ravens and Texans, the first of the two. Later tonight, it'll be San Francisco and Green Bay. Both of those games coming up on WGR. Timeout here. Tampa Bay beating Buffalo 3-1. I'm Brian Colsey along with Pat Malacaro here on the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Another turnover at center. The Lightning bring 3 on the counter. Good hit on the far wall that time by Alex Tuck. And that is being addressed somewhat.
Alex Tuck in the first period with our Clinton Collision hit of the game. Clinton Collision, we're there when you need a repair. 3-1 Tampa, let's get on our save of the game now, and it goes to tonight's second star, Jonas Johansson, coming up big for Tampa.
There's Dylan Cousins, the intended recipient, just could knock it down in traffic. Mittelstadt gets it back again off the right wall. Paterka got a stick on that one, not once but twice. Got it to the front of the net in the blue paint, but Jonas Johansson covers up, preserves a 2-0 Tampa lead.
Now the former Sabre coming up in this game with 26 saves. Our save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. To see the exciting all-new Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Welcome back here to KeyBank Center. 17,000 saw the Lightning beat the Sabres 3-1, a tough loss for Buffalo in the standings. We'll update that in a moment and preview the West Coast trip. Let's read a couple of tweets here from fans. Don't forget, coming up just at 4 o'clock, we will be heading off to Baltimore for the Ravens and the Texans live play-by-play of both games tonight on WGR, San Francisco and Green Bay right after that. Rick talking about Tage Thompson saying how they couldn't get pucks in deep. Pat said, look, he was guilty as anyone. Too much stick handling. This is why they look considerably slower at times than Tampa.
Yeah, and there's a play that sticks out to me, and this isn't to pick on anyone specifically, but you know, a play where Rasmus Dahlin tries to make a pass through a couple of players. I want Rasmus Dahlin to be as creative as he can be, because that's what makes him such a great defenseman. Not only his play in his own zone, but the offense he can create by what he does with the puck. But it's knowing when to try and make those passes. That's what is off many of these times, is instead of trying to get it in deep, instead of trying to get it in the zone first, it's trying to make one pass at the blue line when the neutral zone is clogged up or there's a player right in front of you, and it results in a turnover going back the other way. Those are the types of things we didn't see, by and large, when this team was racking up big goal totals last year.
It makes sense, though, that if you're fast, get that puck in and go and beat these slower teams. Tampa is not a fast team. Get behind their old defense. Get in there. Instead, the Sabres are evening the playing field on some of these slower teams here. BTK tweets in and says, every game, perimeter game only, Donnie needs to start holding them more accountable on that. Well, again, I don't know. There's not players that are going to be doing that, but that message has to be drawn home a little bit harder from everybody. And sure, maybe they are saying it, but then if the players aren't going to do it, well, then you've got to change some players then.
And that is one of the glaring issues on the power play, is a lot of the standing around, a lot of the same things that Marty Baron talked about when he joined us a couple of games ago, where, yeah, you're maybe moving the puck, but you're not making good passes. Your players are keeping the puck and trying to make do too much. So yeah, it's a lot around the perimeter, and it's not being creative enough to try and disrupt the defense and pull them out of a spot that can create an opening for another player.
Last one here. Zach says, this homestand going 3-3 is the season for me. He goes, I think they needed 5 wins. To me, that's it. He goes, I just don't see them snapping out of it. There's not enough time left.
I would disagree with that. If you rattle off, I'm not saying they're going to do it. If the Sabres were to go on a 5-6-7 game winning streak, you put yourself right back in. I know they're on the back half of the schedule now. You're past the 41-game mark. But there's a lot that has to be done to get there. Can't tell me that if they weren't able to find a way to go on a lengthy winning streak, that they wouldn't put themselves in a better spot.
That's our ServPro first response from the fans. ServPro of Central Buffalo's Team Luzzi responds first and faster to any size disaster. We've got major news with the New York Islanders. President of Hockey Operations and GM Lou Lamoriello just announced that Lane Lambert has been fired as the head coach. Patrick Waugh will take his spot. Wow. So the Islanders, who, by the way, has most of the season in a playoff spot. And
Lane Lambert coached them to a playoff spot last year.
They just fell out of a playoff spot. They had been they're 2 points out.
Yeah.
And the Islanders fire their coach and bring in Patrick Waugh. Wow.
Yeah. Remember Patrick Waugh, head coach in this league before with Colorado for a time. So, yeah, I mean, you bring in a Hall of Fame player and somebody who has been a coach previously as well. So, yeah, 93 points last year for the Islanders, a team when they maybe overachieved last year. You know, who had them on their bingo card as a playoff team after Lambert took over as the head coach and now out after basically a season and a half.
Wow. So the Islanders, geez, they fall 2 points out and fire their coach. Okay. Let's get the scores from the rest of the games here, including the NFL preview. We go around the league with Pat.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Alex's Place in Batavia. Aw, man, now I want ribs. As they've played a period in Ottawa, Senators and Jets are scoreless. Coyotes with a 1-0 lead over Nashville. They're through 20 minutes as well. Coming up at 7 tonight, it's the Canadiens and the Bruins. The Devils will host the Stars, while the Canucks welcome in the Maple Leafs for a 7 o'clock puck drop in Vancouver as well. 8 o'clock in St. Louis, the Blues and Capitals will meet, while the Oilers and Flames have a Battle of Alberta on tap from Calgary. That's a 10 o'clock face-off at the same time. Penguins and Golden Knights from Vegas. The Sharks will host the Ducks, while at 10:30, it'll be the Kings welcoming in the Rangers. One final from this afternoon, where the Avalanche get a pair of goals from Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen to defeat the Flyers 7-4. That game has gone final. We're about 40 minutes away from kickoff in the NFL's divisional round of the playoffs. The first matchup in the AFC side, the top team of the conference, the Ravens hosting the Texans. A Baltimore win means the Ravens would host either the Bills or the Chiefs next weekend. A Texan victory means the AFC championship would go through Buffalo or Kansas City. On the NFC side of things, top team of the conference, San Francisco will host the Packers. That's an 8:15 kickoff tonight. As earlier today we've mentioned a couple of times, the Chiefs announcing a couple of roster moves. Kadarius Toney's been downgraded to out for tomorrow's game, and their practice squad elevations are Matt Dickerson, defensive tackle, and nose tackle Mike Pinnell. So the Chiefs are making a couple of moves as they come into Western New York for that 6:30 kickoff tomorrow against the Bills. And there is one note from the American Hockey League, where earlier today we found out that Devin Levi not only is assigned to Rochester, but he will make the start in the 5:05 matchup against Springfield tonight, Brian.
All right, thank you very much. Our final look at the standings brought to you by Native Pride and Tall Chief Cigars. Stand tall with Native Pride. Well, we know where Buffalo is now. Still 44 points at the moment, 7 back of wild card spot number 2. Tampa has moved into third in the division, passing Toronto. There's your look at the standings. 3-1 Tampa is the final, and we put a wrap here on our postgame show, the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show from KeyBank Center. I want to thank our crew, TJ Luckman, back in our Amherst studios, our network producer. Thank you very much, TJ. To the crew here at KeyBank Center, Pat Mullicaro, Jonathan Koziel, Paul Hamilton, and also my son Jack Koziel helping out today here on Kids Takeover Day. Our game announcers were Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Koziel. I thank you again for listening. The final score from downtown Buffalo, it was Tampa Bay 3, Buffalo 1. Thanks for listening. NFL action coming up next. It's Houston at Baltimore. Enjoy the NFL games and the Bills tomorrow right here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.